If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wowee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm joined by two learned gentlemen, Sam Landsberger and Scott Gullen. We had the big round last week. It was the round of the decade. This week it could be the good, the bad and the ugly.
Was it the round of the decade?
No, it wasn't. But we did see one of the games of the decade, I think.
It was. Oh, of the decade. Well, I think it was pretty nice, thrilling finish.
Maybe I've just...
You've gone a little bit
over the top with that.
So what, we saw Melbourne reemerge, which was nice.
Yep.
But Brisbane hit a wall.
Again.
What were the other big games? Geelong-Richmond tick.
Port Adelaide Gold Coast was
great game.
Thriller.
Tick. Great game. Really good game. Enjoyed
Collingwood
that.
Collingwood did all right.
Essendon.
And St Kilda, Sydney showed St Kilda in trouble. So
two goals.
It was interesting. It was better than the previous few rounds. That's what
it was. And we did see that great game. But boys, I'm going to start with, we're going to talk the good, the bad and the ugly. Let's start with the ugly. The teams that are under the pump. They're the ones that we're all talking about at the moment. And it's sitting at the moment with St Kilda. There's been a lot of talk around about the Saints and Brett Ratten's contract. Where do you see the Saints, given they've lost their last three and they had two goals on the board with about 6 minutes to go in the game? Unbelievable.
I really like what Simon Lethlean said on Monday, where he said even when they were, 8-3 or something, really positive to start the year, they were coming from behind a beat team. So I think they were 11 points down in their first seven wins this year. And that showed you that they weren't dominating games. Yep. They were never really a true top four team. They were just getting it done off effort and work rate. And when that falls away and you are a middle-run club, you get exposed pretty quickly.
You do, don't you? Scotty, what do you got for us?
I mean, it's all about how... I was never quite a believer like some.
No.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
And, they were getting overhyped a bit. And they've hit a wall. And now it's funny. Brett Ratten had a press conference today.
He did.
And all the hype was, they're going to announce the extension just to, quell all the controversy. No. There was no extension, contract extension.
But there was controversy, wasn't there? So what's happened with, you're our After Dark specialist.
Well, unfortunately, I did deal with this. I shouldn't reveal that.
Ooh.
I believe Patrick Ryder and Brad Hill went out for beers, as they're allowed to do.
June 18.
8-day break. And another unnamed player who I believe
who
is Long.
Yes. And we believe it's Ben Long.
They got in a verbal stoush with patrons and left. So, I mean, I'm not one to play the stories down because I love this sort of stuff. Mm. But it sounds like not a lot went down. They got in a... You get in verbal altercations where you're at the pub every
second
week.
I get it at
home
sometimes.
And they went out, didn't have a fight. Were allowed to drink, and they weren't dropped because of it. Why it was has raised because Brad Hill missed for personal reasons, and Ryder was managed. So I believe the Saints when they say the two, one and one doesn't equal two in this case.
So before that emerged, I was told that Brad Hill missed training last week.
Yeah, I think he's got some marriage and personal issues.
And Paddy Ryder was always going to miss this game and will miss more games
Correct.
In the run home.
Because of the body Non-stop. Scenario that he's
because
got.
Because he's 34 years old and he's battered.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
So, should they have been a bit on the front foot? I don't know whether you want to be on the front foot about something that's just a, maybe just a verbal sort of...
I'm probably not convinced the club knew about verbal altercation. Then it got raised and they asked them. They said, this is what happened. And I think they're fine. I mean, we can reach on these things, but it doesn't help because the club is in a little bit of a hole.
I think that's it, isn't it? When something when the club's struggling, sometimes these things are magnified, aren't they, regardless?
Definitely.
And sort of, we've seen it week after week. There's been, you know, and some clubs have been able to handle it really well. Collingwood's handled, on the field at least, you know, maybe they haven't handled the De Goey situation well off the field, but on the field they've handled it really well, haven't they?
So, from siren to siren,
yeah,
have been magnificent.
Absolutely. So with the Ratten stuff, like, it was interesting. Robbo had an interesting point. You know, we know that he's close to doing a two-year deal, very close. Robbo's point in the tackle on Monday was maybe they should pull back. It doesn't appear like they're going to do that at this stage.
Well, I'm an advocate, Sam, for let coaches see out the whole tenure and then make an assessment. There's special circumstance if you win a flag, Simon Goodwin, I'll give you that. But coaches who have, you've seen, see the full body of work. No one's going to come and steal Brett Ratten. So why do we have to sign him in June? Can you explain that to me?
I can't. The counterpoint would be the circus that comes with it and the fact that if you do contract him, unlike the old days, if then you sack him, you don't have to pay out the full whack anymore. It's the four-week standard sort of payout. I'd love to do a story on all those unpaid, all those paid contracts for no work.
The amount of money.
A few. Yeah.
What do you think, Mac? I mean, I don't think... These are grown men, these coaches. They don't need to be cuddled, do they?
No, I get your point. I would have... You know, I think the way they've started, I still think the list is not great. I've still got some concerns about the list. So I think he's done a good position, a good job to get him in this position. I think if you've almost ticked it off, I think you've got to go through with it now.
Well, why had they got this far?
Bassett thinks he's the man. Lethlean thinks he's the man.
Well, let's see how his third season goes and we'll talk about it in September. Why can't all clubs act this way? That's my point.
They're on notice after a comment again Lethley made where he said teams were unpicking their game plan.
Yep.
Yeah, that's alarming.
Yeah, it is. So they are too.
They really rely on being a high pressure team. Yep. And so teams now are just no worries. We'll take uncontested marks and you can't apply pressure. Which that's a very basic way into it.
Yeah.
And Saturday night was embarrassing. Like that was an embarrassing performance. They couldn't get a goal. You know, other than a couple of late goals, they would have ended up with two goals. And you know, clearly it's not the happiest camp at the moment there.
Well, the microscope goes on King and body language. Absolutely. And suddenly it's like, oh, he's not happy. So he's Francis type unhappy.
Would you give him, like, they're under the microscope of Friday night. You give him any chance against Carlton?
Well, I just think Carlton, I can't get Carlton right. I keep saying their injury's going to get him, but I think we have to concede they're flying. I think they're too confident at the moment in what they're doing. And they play Marvel well. Normally I'd say, oh, St Kilda at Marvel, they might catch someone out. But I don't think they'll catch Carlton out.
No, they'll get Chera back. They probably won't have Wietering at this stage.
Charlie and Harry, that's just the show at the moment, isn't it?
It sure is. The other one is North Melbourne. Like, Sonia Hood comes out with a, you know, strongly worded message to members. Nowhere in there is there any reference to the coach at all, David Noble. Is that a worrying sign for David Noble? I think we all think not only is he under pressure, that it would be unlikely that he would coach them next year.
Well, she's also tweeting replies to
stories online.
Do you like that?
Is there anything on Twitter about the coach or nothing?
Nothing. I haven't seen the Twitter.
I don't mind. Interaction.
I like it. Now, the bottom line is, like, we were criticising her at the start for not having a public profile. Now she's trying to get a few more things.
But all her tweets are, that's categorically not true. That's categorically not. Well, something has to be true.
What is the word categorically?
I don't know. It's a very good point.
So with that, though, what chance do you... I mean, they've created history. Well, this is the ugly. They've created history by becoming the first club. There's been a lot of clubs played a lot of seasons in the AFL to lose 10 consecutive games by 40 points or more. Unbelievable. The first club in history. Fitzroy didn't do it. University didn't do it. Do you remember them, Scotty?
I do. I thought Sunday was their chance, and now I've jumped off now.
Mm.
We're working on a project at the moment. We're trying to have a look at every club's game plan.
The contacts
that I've been speaking the last few days have just said, I'm not sure how we go about Melbourne, which isn't a great
That's
sign
not
of
a
confidence.
Good sign, is it? That is not a good sign.
I know you've got to try stuff, but then Ben McKay comes back. He's your full back of great note. You're playing against Tex Walker. He starts at full forward, not on Tex Walker.
Yep.
Tex Walker kicks.
You're thinking, like, what are you going to do here?
Whoa, what's happening?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't... And then so the the logical next question is, if you don't win a game, how does the coach keep his job?
Well, that's the
and
point.
We all would think he can't.
Well, you think that situation. You got the RACV coming in, Mr. Fix-It, Jeff Walsh, to come and look at the footy department, isn't it?
He's road
coming
in to look assist.
Roadside assist on the run. He's done it at a number of
probably times. Won't take him as long as the Carlton one. About 1 day and go, oh, trouble.
But again, that review was instrumental in getting rid of a senior coach and some assistant coaches as well. So you've got to think if you're David
Noble. And the CEO.
And the CEO as well. That's a very good point, Sam. So you've got to think there's trouble there. Trouble brewing. There's going to be change at what area. And then you know, playing-wise, who's staying, who's going? Is Taron Thomas going to stay? Is Horne Francis going to try and leave at the end of the year? What is actually happening? And could a club jump in and try and pinch a Larky or a Zerha?
Oh, mate, wouldn't that just...
It's what do the clubs feed off
absolutely
the prey of, you know, they love preying on the vulnerable clubs.
Because it's an out for the players. They go, oh, I've given it 7 years here. You know, I love your club, but I want to chase success in my second half of my career.
It's not me, it's you.
Yeah, there you go.
We've heard that a lot.
That a few times before. And boys, the other club that I just wanted to mention too, under enormous pressure, but it was pretty predictable. Even though I tipped West Coast on Friday night, it was predictable the way Essendon went down. They're in a world of hurt. They're now looking down the barrel of finishing second last. West Coast going to finish on
I'll
top
be
of them.
Interested in your secret
dossier on
Essendon as well.
Again, so you look at Carlton, no back line on paper. It's a no frills defence.
Yep.
So Liam Jones retires, Wietering injured, Sam Durden, Caleb Marchbank play for one game and then go out. There's nothing there.
Yep.
But Carlton beats Fremantle on the back of system.
Yep.
Essendon, 100 points. Well, West Coast hasn't been kicking 50 points this year.
26
they
games.
Kick 100 against
26
them.
Games they hadn't kicked 100 points in West Coast.
So I just wonder what system, from a system point of view, what's going on at the Bombers from a coaching? They are so easy to move the ball from full back to full forward against.
Because didn't, when Rutten came in, they were downhill skiers, and then he came in saying, I'm going to stiffen them.
Yep.
And he sort of did they made the finals. He seemed to for a period of time.
They became cross-country skiers. Yeah,
and now we're back even worse than they were.
They are. They're 18th for tackle, I think, tackles. 18th for contested possessions.
18th for pressure.
18th for pressure. That's alarming for a
footy club. When
you're
a rubbish team, you can find little blokes to
But where does the blame lie? Does it blame lie with the coaching? Does it blame with the players? Or is it a mix of all of the...
I actually think they've done a really, or not a, I think they've done a good job recruiting wise. I think they've picked the right players.
So the list is actually not that bad, but the system
the
is.
The right
is that
players.
So maybe the Parrish Francis draft wasn't the best, but I look at Harry Jones, Archie
Perkins is going to be a star.
Nick Cox, Zach Reed. I think that draft was.
Yep.
But what about Dylan Shield?
I'm talking the draft.
Okay, so recent, as in. The last draft.
No, it's in the last five drafts.
Five drafts.
Even you go back to the Asada years, so they get Zach Merritt at 26, Fantasia at 55. They find Connor McKenna in Ireland. I think they found play as well.
A couple of those guys are gone.
I know, but it's still identifying the right talent. I actually think the list is not that bad.
Well, they're not as bad as this,
really?
Are they? They're not this bad, Scotty. They're not a 17th team.
Are they the 16th worst list in the AFL?
And I think you can almost say 17th, because West Coast is going to go above them, for sure.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Probably not. That's a fair call. But maybe it's development. I mean, Ridley was, one of being... What's their defence? Peter Wright's all they've got. I know these kids are going to be good, but do we have to... How do we wait? How do you fill the gap?
I don't know.
Well, the other one is, just before we go to a break, is Jakey Stringer. Like,
I mean, I love Jake.
What's it? No, I'm not saying.
He doesn't try from week to week, but I love him.
Well, certain weeks
he won us a premiership.
No.
It's Bulldog hour again.
It's Bulldog hour again. So with that, like, is there a disconnect between the coach, as we're hearing, and Jake? Or is that a good thing that Jake needs a bit of a bake every now and again from the coach just to try and get him to perform to the level he needs to be?
Well, he did carry them on his back to September last
year.
He did.
I think if I'm Jake, he played rubbish, so Bake's fair enough, but then he's been in the stands watching all these blokes play rubbish, and he's the one who got singled out. So I like public bakings, because coaches should be allowed to say what they feel, but I could imagine Jake's camp going, well, hang on. You haven't mentioned one individual player for the whole 8 weeks while Jakey's been in the stands.
But whack.
When he's unfit and, whatever, and doesn't touch it, Yeah, it was a slightly harsh.
It was a little. I think it probably was a little bit harsh in the end. But, I mean, again, I like a good bank. Now, they play Sydney this week.
Good luck.
Remember what happened last time they played Sydney?
Oh,
Luke Parker.
I'm just doing the Luke Parker here.
Oh, maybe it's
would
a...
you...
Oh, you got to run through him at the
bounce. Is this almost a line in the sand game for Essendon?
But they'll be 6 weeks too late.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I know, but you still got to do it.
Better late than ever.
Get respect back. Yeah,
straight at him. You'd barrel him straight at him.
Oh, yeah. Well, Sheed is involved at the club still. You'd have to find someone.
Essendon's just for the theatre of it. I needed a headline out of this, and Scotty's given it to me.
Who's the man to do it?
That's the concern. That is the real concern.
They haven't. Tipper's sort of not there. Like, Tipper would get him legally and hurt him. Whoa. Therein lies the problem. Like, Dylan Shield's not going to do it. That's because he's not that type of player. Maybe Jakey, but Jakey would probably think about
the man. Jakey might be the man. So, boys, we've covered the ugly.
Not that we condone violence.
No, we don't condone violence, but we condone making a stand.
Yes.
And this is a game that Essendon has to make a stand in, I think.
I like
we need
this,
to
Mac.
Learn something about the Bombers. Boys, we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk about the good. We've had the ugly, and now we'll talk about the good. We've done the ugly, boys. Now, looking at the good, the Carlton Football Club... Wow, that's all I can say about the Carlton Footy Club. Wow, they've got all these guys out. Still got some good handy players in at the moment, but they are top four bound potentially, aren't they?
Well, so didn't Vossi put on his midfield, which is impressive.
He did.
Because he knows,
this
as
is
100%
true.
His defence was vulnerable against Freo.
Mm-hmm.
So Walsh just goes at another level. Cripps, and they will follow. And like you said, they beat Fremantle, which shouldn't have happened, really, on stats and lineups.
Well, you look at the defence. Ross Lyon said that the Freo forwards would decimate the Carlton defenders.
Yeah, see, I think he said Brisbane by a lot and Freo by a lot. Well, and I followed him in on that, Ross, and he got me two tips.
I followed him in.
That's why he's not working in football at the moment.
But that's an interesting point. We're not having another crack at Ben Rutten, but he talked about Darcy Parrish and Andrew McGrath out. Carlton's got Pitnett out. They've got Chera's not playing at the moment. Wiedering's not playing. They've got a lot of blokes out. Williams, a heap of players out. And yet the system is actually working. I can't wait to see Sammy's dossier on the Blues.
So there's a social media post doing the rounds. Would Carlton's injured players beat the Roos at the moment?
We'll take a look at some of these, Scotty. Unbelievable. Parks is out. Williams is out. Durden, that is Sam Durden out. Marchbank out. Boyd out this week. Curnow's still out. Williamson, Fogarty, Martin. Might be a chance to play Martin. Philp, Owies, McDonald, McGovern, Pitnett, Chera back this week. Cunningham. They have got so many players out. You couldn't believe it. And yet they continue.
It's a pretty good sledge. So
the Northern Blues beat Fremantle, basically.
They did. It's pretty good. They had a couple of good players.
Sam Walsh and Patrick.
They had a couple of pretty good players. A bloke called Charlie, who looked good in a Northern Blues jumper, I think, wouldn't he?
It's an amazing effort, and it just shows you it is coaching, isn't it?
It is, and structure. The one thing about, I just wanted to ask you about that, is that they're a serious top four chance this year, next year. They're a premiership chance, without a doubt. How are they going to keep them all together? Like, Tom DeConing has come from nowhere. I think we all thought he was going to be an okay player, but he has become a seriously big player. So they've got to do DeConing, Big Harry, and also Charlie contracts next year.
I think there'll be a bit of, we know we're on a journey in the next 5 years to something pretty special. I think that'll click in. I think it might have already clicked in. They can see it, the players. So, I mean, Charlie, to be fair to him, he got paid pretty good money not to do much for a few years, so I doubt whether he's going to...
Yeah, if you
disappear,
Harry will stay too. I'm convinced.
If you'd played through the last period,
yep,
exactly,
and you finally saw the light, not only just peeking through, but blinding you,
yeah,
surely you're sticking around.
Yeah, I think they're a stick together
team.
Yeah,
they are, and I think they've manufactured a few contracts where they've got some.
Well,
the situation, like Cripps has taken a little bit less.
Well, I'm sure Hewitt's not on big money. Less. He came, but I don't think they had to overpay him.
I think he was on 600 at Sydney, and that's why they were keen to.
To offload him.
Yeah.
Chera's probably on a decent wicket to come, but Zach
so
Williams.
And you got Sard on reasonably good money. So they've got a really high paid. Wiedering's on good money.
But they've got Owies and all these little guys who'd be on $1.50.
But I think those guys who are $1.50.
But they're going to have to stay on $1.50.
Well, but the bottom line, they've been good players. The $1.50 players have been.
Oh, no, that's what
good,
I mean.
You?
But don't put your hand up, boys.
You're not getting any extra.
I think one of the best recruits Carlton's made has been Ash Hansen.
Yep. Absolutely. Wow.
come from the kennel.
Don't mention
obviously,
it.
All the praise rightly goes to Vossi because the senior coach always wears it good or bad, but I think he's been a very
Dogs
smart
weren't happy
lieutenant.
Either, were they, when he left? Dogs were not happy.
I think they saw Stephen King's departure coming. Yep. Not so much so with Ash. Yeah,
no, it's hurt us. So us.
Hurt us. I like this. Us. Them. Them. No, gee, this is Bulldog hour. We need Mark Stevens wherever he is. So the other good, and it's more than good, is I'm starting to think Geelong could win the flag. The way they played on the weekend, outstanding. They've covered a few deficiencies. I think Tom Atkins has been terrific going in the mid. Stengel's been outstanding, so they are a really good side. I'm sounding weird saying that. They've been a good side for a long time, but there was always that little question mark on them.
When did it flick? Like, when did we actually sit back and say, hey, hang on, this is a contender?
Well, I think we hadn't seen Cameron fit. Mm-hmm. So now the Cameron Hawkins thing is the Charlie Harry thing at Carlton. You just go, wow. Stengel, great point. They've been close as a good player, but and Delhouse, he's got too old, so they needed
X-factor class.
But Chris Scott has played kids, and he found DeConing. Like, he's found a set-off back. So I agree with you, Macca, and this has all been done without Dangerfield. And
correct.
Touch wood. I mean, he comes back and plays 8 weeks of a high standard fitness-wise. They can beat anyone. So, yeah, I'm and they've got a pretty good draw.
Yeah, I think that's it. Got quite a few home games. And
yeah, they still play North Melbourne and the resurgent West Coast.
They are.
No, they might have already played them, but they do have a good draw.
So just on that, like their game style, how different is it to what
the secret dossier,
which
well, it's really changed halfway through the year. So I think that the first sort of rounds 1-7, they were based around offense. They were low on marks. So last year they were, they took more marks than anyone. Yeah, slow, safe ball movement. And this year they sort of flipped that. So they were low on marks. They went forward really heavily. And then round 8-15, they've gone back to high marks, but and they don't really go forward by handball. They go back by hand, and it's worked. I mean, I think if we take a look at since round 6, they've scored number 4 in the competition and number 2 in the AFL for marks inside 50. They're number 5 for time in forward half. So it's really come together. And
this is what we pay him for, isn't it? This outstanding content.
Secret investigations.
You wonder, like, when Dangerfield's fit, is it him and Jeremy Cameron flipping centre bounce forward?
Yeah, well,
maybe.
Cameron went in there when it mattered, didn't he? At the death.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
So where are we at with... We looked at the coaches' votes. I always love looking at the coaches' votes
yes,
to have a look
this.
At what's going on. Tom Stewart got 4 coaches' votes. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that's his own coach.
Clearly, Damien Hardwick said, I'm not voting for this bloke who took out Dion Prestia.
And maybe the umpires will follow suit. We spoke to Derek Humphrey-Smythe, who said, because it was so early and so obvious and the report was laid and Prestia was on the ground. They should have stopped play, but they saw everything unfold with their own eyes. He reckons they'll come in 2 hours later and go, Stewart's really good, but no.
Is there a ruling? I don't know whether there's...
No, there's not a ruling.
No ruling,
they just judged that he wasn't in the fairest.
Just quietly, how bad a look for the game that the game continued on.
I saw it again just before I came in. They were kicking the ball over his head.
Kicking the ball over his head. It was just remarkable that they didn't stop the game.
But why didn't Richmond run the stretcher out?
I know.
That's what they needed to do. Somebody needed to put their hand up and say, I kept thinking... But
you just got to step 1 foot on, don't you? And just go, stretcher's here. Stop play.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Because they thought he might come back on. But I know I'm with you, Mac, at Geelong.
But you can still come back on after 20 minutes, I think.
On the stretcher?
Yeah,
you
I
get
think
a lift
you,
off?
I think if you leave the field not via the interchange gate, you can't come back on.
Oh, okay.
But via the stretcher, it's just 20 minutes. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah, that was an error.
I'm a big fan of your choose your own line this week. Choose your own line, Geelong versus North Melbourne at GMHBA Stadium.
I hope they're giving tickets away. Buy one, get 5 for free or something.
Before looking, I would say 60.
It's got to be approaching 75.
My goodness me. I'll get you to have a quick look if you can, Sammy. And just while we're looking at that, what is it? Oh, he's bigger, is it?
No, well, I've just seen the head-to-head odds. It's $1.01 and $21 in a two-horse race. And the line is currently at 65.5.
Probably unders.
It's nearly value. It's $1.90.
It's probably unders, isn't it? So the one I'm interested in this week, and this isn't Bulldog or Magpie Hour, but the Pies, they're going all right, aren't they? They're going all right as a footy club. They've won 5 in a row. Against their bogey side, GWS, they performed really well. And now,
they're the bet, top 4.
They're the bet for the top 4.
Have you seen their draw?
the bet for top four.
Their next five games are like Sammy's calling it up, my man here.
The top four?
Well, they're only a game out of the top four now, correct?
Correct.
Percentage is a little bit low. If you look at their draw, which my assistant here is going to tell me.
They have Gold Coast away.
So big game if they win this.
North Melbourne at the G.
Should win that.
Adelaide in Adelaide.
Can win that.
Essendon.
Oh, hello.
Can win that.
Port Adelaide at the G.
Can win that.
Hello.
And then they finish with Melbourne, which they've beaten, Sydney away, and Carlton, which will be the biggest game.
How big will that be? Round 23.
So they're going to get a free hit for 4 weeks. If they get over this, which is, Gold Coast a bit banged up, but we know
they're playing. It's an interesting five-game block, isn't it? And I spoke to Jack Crisp down at training today. We had a little presser, and he was talking about a five-game block.
Starting now?
Well, he didn't actually say when it was starting, but he said, we've got through a five-week period. We're looking at the next five-week period. So if they can win four of that next five.
If they nail that, you're looking pretty
good.
And
that puts you into... I'd be stunned to think that they could be finished top four. But
And then suddenly you're getting pick 15 for Jordan Ngoi.
Which is not ideal, is it, when you're looking at it? So a little bit of a concern. But they've actually handled things pretty well, the Pies, on the field. But a huge game against Gold Coast this week.
Who's your early tip, Macca?
I think I'll tip Collingwood. Gold Coast a favourite. I thought they were terrific, Gold Coast, on the weekend. I thought that was a really good game. But I'll probably end up tipping Collingwood. But my tipping crashed a little last week.
I think the podcast is carrying the tipping panel.
It might be. We're right up there, but
I've just got to get Jamie. I've got her to win two. I'm closed to within two, apparently. I'm going to get her.
She's got that advantage. She knows to predict the future, so there you go.
No, there's a couple. We'll get her this week.
Back in a moment. I reckon, Scotty, that Sam Landsberger's got to get his suit and tie ready because his AFL umpiring story has been outstanding. It continues to roll on.
We joked about the investigations department stretching it, but you just keep dropping
just
bombs.
Keep giving, it's an amazing story that's still rolling, isn't it? It's still rolling along.
Yeah, really fascinated the fact that the AFL would survey female umpires again, given you've done this, you've got the data, you've got some of the most horrific anecdotes of all time, and 11 recommendations by a university lead investigator and the former head of the AFL Community Umpiring Development Manager, just go out and action the recommendations. I'm not sure why we're asking them again. And they've also had a WorkSafe inspector come in and just say, shake a few hands with the top brass and take a few documents home. So it's been looked at.
It's been an amazing story, hasn't it, Scotty? And we've got Jay Clark reporting today that Lachie Neal is very, very close to signing an extension.
A Fremantle.
No.
Wasn't that a good story?
Extension.
How good was that?
Extension to stay at Brisbane
that
for a lot
longer. That was a great one-week trade story that got us all.
Might not have lasted a week, did it? It was almost a week, wasn't it?
And your man was on the money, the Perth guy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
And he copped a lot of heat.
Ryan Daniels.
And then suddenly it was like, oh, no, you're right.
But he looks like he's now staying even longer. Are you guys anti the send-off red card rule? Are you?
Yes.
I am. I'm opposed to it because I don't think they can make the right judgment at the end of a game, let alone during a game.
Oh, I think it would work, but it would have to come from ARC, not from the umpires.
Yeah.
I think if you've got the benefit of multiple TV angles and you could make a considered call, maybe at the end of that quarter.
Yeah,
but
that's
not on the spot from umpires, absolutely not.
No, I don't agree with it. It happens. This situation happens once every 5 years or something.
And if we got it wrong that it's a reckless act, should it be reckless in the sense that the Tom Stewart one, rather than careless? Like we changed the rules the description of it. Should it be? I mean, to me, that wasn't careless. It was reckless.
Somewhere between careless and intentional.
Yes, but they went with careless. And
so the intention was to hit him in the body. Obviously, his intention wasn't to hit him in the head, but. So that's where, not a grey area, so it depends which way you look at it. But he intended to make contact with Prestia.
Does it matter a great deal given off to the tribunal?
Not really, because it had to go to the tribunal. I think it had to. Yeah. It's the logical place was to send it to the tribunal.
But there are guidelines, which is weird. They've still got to put things in boxes.
Yeah,
the tribunal should be just a fresh
set
of eyes.
But it's not, because Christo has, the MRP has sent it in boxes to them.
Well, because it was in a box that that labelled it.
But I'd rather try and go, here it is.
Here it is.
Fresh, fresh. You know, you can give him eight or two or whatever.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Don't go by care. No. Like, then, because they're going to argue all these boxes again. Yeah, it should be.
We won't say what we think we should get, because this pod, most people, he will have already had it by the time this one comes out. But we don't see too many of those in footy, do we? It was pretty disconcerting to watch. Boys, one other thing I wanted to ask you. Have we got to a stage where, and some refreshing discussion from Port Adelaide in regard to Carl Amon, have we got to a stage where at some stage soon we're going to have a player come out and say, I'm going to another club at the end of the year, but I'm going to give everything for the rest of this season? That's the situation with Carl Amon at the moment. Chris Davies said on radio yesterday in Adelaide that it's more likely that he's going to leave now than stay, and yet he's still playing unbelievably good footy for the club.
Oh, it's a good debate. I mean, Adam Tomlinson played a grand final in 19, knew that that was his last game for the club. He had a 5-year offer at Melbourne. Well,
remember Lachie Henderson at Carlton?
Yes.
He came out, they were rubbish, and goes, yeah, I'm going. And then they dumped him straight away.
Yeah.
Didn't let him play the last couple of games.
Paul Roos always said he'd never play a player.
Yeah.
If he knew he was out the door.
Yeah. Well,
the Dogs fans booed Cal Ward in his last game as a Bulldog.
Did they?
Because no one knew it was happening.
Knowing he was going to the Giants.
Yeah.
But again, that was a decade ago.
Are we maturing, do you think? Like, it was really fascinating to hear Chris Davies say that we think he's probably going now, but he's committed to the end of the year. And it's just unusual, I thought.
I think football fans are, there's a variety of them.
They're very slow to mature.
We might not mature as one.
No. Now, just finally before we go, we are contractually bound to talk about the Western Bulldogs. I know you've already done it. Riley West, wow.
So that was the best game of his life.
Unbelievable game. He's had a good stretch. He's had a really good stretch, but that was his best game. It's only 13 months ago that his dad was out there on Facebook with the message. Pretty amazing how it turns around, isn't it?
Hopefully, it's a bit more centre bounce time with Bailey Smith out for a couple more as well. I'd like to see that as the next evolution, but he's going beautifully.
He's had to wait 3 years or whatever, and it's paid off.
He's been good sensational. On the Bulldogs, we have a massive game on Thursday night. And don't we love Thursday night footy? Brisbane versus the Western Bulldogs. This might be their moment, the Western Bulldogs, Scotty.
Injuries in defence is the only thing that's worrying me. Ed Richards out on top of Taylor Duray hurts, because they're going to get Bailey back, who scares me. Tim English most unlikely to go as well. Other than that, I think the Bulldogs are humming, and I think Brisbane, you'd think they'd bounce back on their home deck, or they might be in a little bit of a, lull.
I think the Dogs would want to repeat what Melbourne did at the contest, because if Brisbane wins stoppages with Mick Stay, Danaher, and Hipwood ahead of the ball, and that undersized back line, alarm bells.
But the Bulldogs, Libber is in a rare air at the minute.
Unbelievable,
so
Libber.
The Bulldogs go well at the contest, so that's not the end of the world, is it?
No.
I think the Bulldogs can win, but I'm just worried about the injury toll.
Mark a tip?
I think Brisbane at this stage, but Scotty's just getting me to start thinking. If Tim English plays, which is sounding unlikely, doesn't it, at this stage, which is another setback for my Supercoach team.
He did miss about a month when Aaron Norton knocked him out last year.
But on the flip side, the Dogs have kicked 100 five of the last 7 weeks. And, it's all Norton. It's not all Norton anymore.
No, which I think
And Brisbane's defence is not exactly scary.
And I'm not getting carried away with Jamara, and I'm not getting carried away with Shaki, but they're doing enough at the moment, and they're little guys at the moment. Waitman was a bit quiet last week, but Riley West, and that forward line's actually going all right. The only trouble is they're getting a few scores kicked against them as well. So very interesting, boys. You've been outstanding again, the good, the bad, the ugly, and Scotty has tipped the Pies to finish in the top 4. Thanks to everyone for listening. Have a great week, and for all your news and views, go to heraldsun.com.au.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.